of Marshwood, Bill Fraser as Crestwell, and Gwen Cheryl as Moxie, in Relative Values by Noel Coward, with John Rye as Nigel, the Earl of Marshwood, and Joanna Wake as Miranda Frail. It's 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon in July 1951. Relative Values.
And just at the very end of the film, he realizes that she is the one he's loved all along. And they walk uphill together, hand in hand, and the music gets louder and louder.
Thank you, Alice. I shan't have to see her now, shall I?
Oh, she's lovely, Mr. Crestwell. Really, she is. Well, you must have seen her in something.
I've got better things to do with my spare time than to sit in the Odeon sucking sweets and gaping at a lot of nonsense. Now, come on, pass me that tray.
Love is my religion is on a deal all this week. It's one of her early ones, but it's gorgeous. She's this nun, you see.
Which nun?
The one that gets captured by the Japanese.
Get on with emptying these ashtrays or we shall all be captured by the Japanese.
And they do the most terrible things to her, but she won't tell where he is.
Well, who is?
Don Lucas.
Get on with your work, Alice. They'll be in a minute.
They're in love with one another in real life, her and Don Lucas. I read about it in one of the...
Never mind who she's in love with and who she isn't. No business of yours. And don't believe what you read in these movie magazines either. It's all a pack of lies, cooked up from press, silly girls like you. Hello, Dora. What's my lady lost now?
The list for the church fete. She wants to show it to Lady Hailing. I put it in her bag myself this morning.
Can Maureen come up and help with the tea tomorrow afternoon, Mr. Crestwell?
Help with the tea? What on earth for?
Well, I could lend her a cap and apron. No one would notice.
2 years ago, Alice, your sister Maureen was offered the job you've got now, wasn't she?
Yes, Mr. Crestwell.
And she turned up her nose at it because she said domestic service was common, isn't that so?
Yes, Mr. Crestwell.
Why then should this fastidious girl suddenly wish to don the garb of slavery?
Well, I always...
Has she said to herself, I know that they are short-handed at Marshwood on account of Amy having to visit her granny in Canterbury and May being in bed with shingles.
Oh, stop talking nonsense. You're keeping Alice from her work.
Or has she said to herself, for the sake of Mr. Crestwell, who is rapidly going balmy, I will sacrifice my naughty pride and spring gladly into the breach?
Well, sure, I don't know, Mr. Crestwell.
The answer, Alice, is no. The answer, Alice, is that your sister, like so many of her contemporaries, is a film-struck, good-for-nothing little fathead. And all that she wants to help with the tea for is to get a close-up view of Miss Miranda Frail and probably ask her for her autograph. And I tell you solemnly here and now that if she gets it, it will be over my dead body.
Run along now, Alice. You've been standing about quite long enough.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Moxton.
And take these glasses with you.
Yes, Mr. Crestwell.
Now, what is the sense of talking to the girl like that? She doesn't understand half you say.
That is a cross I've learned to bear with fortitude, Dora. No one understands half of what I say.
Then save your breath and say less.
What's the matter with you? You've been snapping everybody's head off for the last 3 days.
Oh, here it is.
What's up?
Nothing's up. Oh, I must take this in. Her ladyship's waiting for it.
Ever since the news came, you've been behaving like a tragedy queen. I mean, it can't matter to you all that much.
It does matter to me. It matters to us all.
No, you can't believe these movie magazines, you know.
I don't read movie magazines.
Oh, yes, you do. I saw 3 of them in your room only last week.
What were you doing in my room?
Well, you asked me to fetch your work basket. And with my inherent chivalry, which all the disruptive forces of social revolution have been powerless to destroy, I nipped up 3 flights and got it for you.
I didn't ask you to go poking and prying about.
Your work basket, Dora, was on the table by your bed. Beside it was 3 magazines. On the cover of one of them was a full-page photograph, in colour, of the future Countess of Marshwood in a 2-piece bathing suit, being warmly embraced by a gentleman in a 1-piece bathing suit.
Alice must have left them there when she was doing the room.
I accept your unconvincing explanation.
Well, I suppose it's only natural that I should want to see what the new mistress of the house looked like.
This unwitting bit of espionage on my part took place last week, Dora, before any of us had the slightest idea that his lordship intended to marry again.
I'm surprised at you, I really am. You've been with this family longer than I have, and you don't seem to mind this terrible thing one bit. All you do is make jokes about it. Oh, why couldn't he pick someone of his own class?
Class? dear. I'd forgotten what that word means.
Well, you may have forgotten what it means. I haven't.
Ah, that, Dora, is an admission of defeat. It proves that you have willfully deafened yourself to the clarion call of progress. What happened to your early dreams and ambitions? What happened to your divine discontent?
I wish you'd stop trying to be funny for one moment.
Ah, don't take it so hard. It may not be as bad as you think. I mean, look at it philosophically and hope for the best. That's what her ladyship's trying to do. She's had Lady Hayling nagging at her all through lunch. She kept on trying to change the subject, but it was no use.
Her ladyship is just as upset as we are.
Well,
inside.
Has she said so?
No, she has not, but I can tell.
All right. All right. Miss Miranda Frayle may not be all that common. I mean, she's English-born, anyhow. It says so in Alice's magazines.
I do not care if she was born in Timbuktu. I only know that when she walks into this house, I walk out.
Well, you better start packing. They'll be here at about 6.
I mean it.
Seems to me that you're taking it all a bit too seriously. What happened to your laissez-faire?
I expect I lost it, along with my divine discontent.
Couldn't you find the list, Moxie dear?
Oh, yes, my lady. Here it is.
Ah, now, don't go, for heaven's sake. I shall need your help. Yours too, Cresswell. And Mr. Peter, the Admiral, Lady Hayley, yes, everybody. Yes, now, there's a full-blooded crisis on about the church fete. Everything's got to be changed round. Now, where's that horrid little map of the ground, Moxie?
Oh, I think it's in the blotter, my lady.
I may require you to go and murder Major Petherick, Cresswell.
Very good, my lady.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Dug his feet in about the roundabouts. I've just been talking to him on the telephone. He was quite insufferable.
Here's the map, milady.
What's that space there?
Oh, that's Mrs. Burridge's clock golf and the tea tent, Peter. We can't possibly move that. It would drive everybody mad.
What about there, then, right at the other end, where all those little squiggles are?
Those little squiggles are graves. We can't have a roundabout grinding out candy kisses all over the cemetery.
There, then.
Now, do get your mind away from that corner, Peter. It's still a church property. We know the fete is annual hell, but it isn't the day of judgment.
The only alternative, milady, is to move the band.
Well, that's out of the question. I mean, the Brigadier wouldn't hear of it. You can't hustle the Royal Marines about from pillar to post at the last minute.
I always thought, Admiral, that that was what Marines were for.
Now, read out that list, Moxie. There might be something else that's movable.
Tombola, Mrs. Edgecombe. Guessing the weight of the cake, Mrs. Bryce. Miss Hodmarsh's lucky dip.
I should never have suspected her of having one.
Do be quiet, Peter. Go on, Moxie.
Jumble stall, Mrs. Pollitt and Mrs. Dint. Cooling drinks with the stars, Miss Miranda Frayle.
Oh, that's not official yet, because we haven't asked her. But I don't see how she can refuse, do you?
Oh, I think it'd be the least she could do.
Now, what's the matter, Moxie?
Nothing, milady, nothing. I've got a slight headache, that's all.
Then give me that tiresome list and go and lie down for a little. There's some aspirin in my bathroom, if you haven't got any.
Yes, thank you, milady. Excuse me.
Oh. Oh, has anything particular happened to upset Moxie Cresswell?
I think she has been feeling a bit under the weather for the last 3 days, milady. I believe that the unexpected news of his lordship's betrothal came as a great shock to her.
Yeah, it came as a great shock to all of us.
Has she disgusted with you, Cresswell?
Hardly at all, milady. Until just now, before you came in.
Well, without asking you to betray her confidence in any way, has she explained why she feels so very strongly about it?
As far as I could gather, milady, I believe it is the social aspect of the situation that is upsetting her more than anything else.
You mean she considers my son to be marrying beneath him?
That is so, milady. I tried to reason with her, to coax her into a more tolerant frame of mind, but like Major Petherick in the roundabout, she just dug her feet in.
Oh, thank you, Cresswell.
Will that be all, my lady?
Except for the roundabouts, yes. You'd better take the lists and the map to Mr. Durham and see if he has any ideas.
Very good, my lady.
I have to see him after tea anyhow, but he might be able to think up something in the meantime. Well, I don't know what I should do without Cresswell. Do you remember how all through the war he and Moxie and I ran this house and dealt with all those brisk waffs, and he never turned a hair? Oh, I shall miss him horribly.
But why should you do without him?
Oh, Cynthia, I can't take him away from Nigel. He belongs here.
Are you so certain that Nigel will want you to go?
Well, he won't say he wants me to go, but I don't approve of resident mothers-in-law.
I had quite enough of that with Joan.
I shouldn't think that this one would be very like Joan.
Well, she couldn't be duller at any rate. Nobody could.
Joan may have been dull, but she was at least a lady.
Oh, really? Cynthia?
Well, you know perfectly well what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. Anyhow, Miranda Frayle is a good actress, and she has excellent legs, which means that she'll probably move well at any rate. Joan used to walk across a ballroom as though she were trudging through deep snow. Happily, dear Bogey Whittaker caught her on the hop before she had time to think. Otherwise, she'd be here now instead of in Kenya.
I cannot understand your attitude, Felicity. The fact that Nigel's first marriage was such a disaster should make you all the more anxious that his second should be a success.
Nigel's first marriage was not a disaster. It was a triumph. To begin with, it lasted only 2 years. It produced a son and heir and disintegrated painlessly in the nick of time.
The nick of time?
Well, certainly. I was on the verge of strangling Joan with my bare hands when she went away. I'm not a deeply religious woman, but I've always regarded Bogey Whittaker as a concrete proof of the efficacy of prayer.
I am perfectly aware that nowadays all social barriers are being swept away and that everybody is as good as everybody else. But if Nigel is allowed to marry this synthetic, trumped-up creature, it will be just one more nail in all our coffins.
Oh, dear Cynthia, you really must not let righteous indignation play such hell with your syntax. Oh, do take her away, John. Right. She's getting quite hoarse from barking up wrong trees.
Well, I'm merely saying what I think.
Well, dear, it's so exhausting.
Well, John agrees with me at any rate, don't you, John?
Well, oh, yes, yes, I agree. It's fairly obvious to me that Nigel must have been tricked into this in some way. I mean, after all, he's no fool.
But, John, dear, he is. Hmm? He's my own son, and I ought to know.
Oh, come along, John. See you at dinner.
You know you can rely on us to back you up, Felicity, in whatever line you choose to take.
Yes, of course I do. But I think in this instance that masterly inactivity is the best strategy. In fact, my dear Admiral, we must study the chart and take our bearings before we set our course.
Anchors away.
Come along, John.
Very well, we'll be over at about 8:30, eh? Keeping good heart, my dear.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid I was beastly to poor Cynthia. She really maddens me at times.
Personally, I think the Admiral and his good lady are both cracking balls.
Perhaps they are, but you see, they're such old friends. What is it, Moxie? I haven't forgotten anything important, have I?
No, milady. I just wanted to speak to you, that's all. But I'll come back later.
It's all right, Moxie, dear. I'm going to the village. You can have a clear field.
No, it doesn't matter, Mr. Peter. I'd rather come back later.
Oh, dear.
She's obviously in a state.
Oh, I wish she wouldn't be. I really do. It's so catching. Why do you suppose she's taking it so dreadfully to heart?
Have you talked to her about it much?
No. Whenever I mention it, she changes the subject. She's very deeply angry, I think.
With Nigel?
Yes. You see, she adores him. She always has, ever since she first came here. You know, he was only 15 then, and they used to go to the matinees together and have tea afterwards at Gunter's. I think she feels that he's letting down the side.
Maybe she's right.
There's still just a hope that she's wrong.
I think it's a pretty slim one.
I don't see why. After all, it isn't the first time an English peer has married an actress. In the old days, they never stopped. Oh, answer it, Peter. There's a dear. It's probably the press again. They've been ringing up all day. You can evade them with more authority than I can.
There, I think you underrate yourself. Hello? Hello, yes? Yes, this is. Yes. Hold the line for a moment, will you? It's for you, dear. A personal call from London.
Ask who it is.
Who wishes to speak to her? Oh, all right. Hold on. It's the prodigal son himself.
Oh, Nigel? Oh, dear. Hello? Yes, speaking. Oh, the line's terrible. It sounds as though someone was snoring.
Oh.
Hello, hello? Nigel? Yes, dear. Yes, of course it is. What? Oh, do speak louder. I can't hear a word. He can't hear me either. Well, where are you? I said, where are you? Oh, I see. You're just leaving now. Oh. Oh, lovely, darling. Yes. How are you? Both. No, dear. I said, how are you both? Yes, but I'm doing my best. I'm screaming like a banshee. Banshee, darling. Oh, B for bottle, A for Andalusia, N for Nebuchadnezzar. No, Nebuchadnezzar. N for nobody, S... Oh, it doesn't matter. No, it's not in the least important. I was only trying to explain what I was screaming like. Oh, I'm going mad.
Jiggle the thing.
Well, if I jiggle the thing, I should be cut off.
No.
Ah, yeah, that's better. That's better. The snoring has stopped anyway. That's better, yes. I can hear you now. Yes. Can you hear me? Ah, good. Oh, what a shame. Oh, I expect it was because she was in a strange bed. I know I shouldn't have said that. You think I was being critical. Very well, darling. No, nobody but Peter and the Halings. Yes, well, I thought you'd like to be quiet on your first evening. Mm-hmm. Yes, we'd expect you between 6 and 7. Yes, well, of course I am. Oh, I'm sure she's charming. I shouldn't have said that either. It sounded patronizing. No. Oh, no, it wasn't in the least important. It sounded like Nebuchadnezzar because it was Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, I really can't explain now. It's all so complicated. Yes. Oh, all right, darling. Oh, my goodness, that was one of the most idiotic conversations I've ever had in my life.
Did he sound cheerful?
Well, a little irritable, I thought, but that might have been the telephone.
I expect he was nervous.
I wasn't beastly to him, was I? I mean, I didn't sound cross or anything.
No, dear aunt. You were very, very good. I know it's horrid for you, and I do sympathize, really I do.
Please don't, Peter. Even a kindly look would undermine me at the moment. Now, be a dear and go and find Moxie. I'd better get that over. She's probably hovering.
All right, I will.
Milady?
It's all right, Moxie. The coast is clear.
Yes, milady.
Oh, you look dreadfully grim, Moxie. Now, what is it that's worrying you?
The thought of what I have to say to you, milady. That's what's worrying me. I'm afraid I have to leave you, milady.
Leave me? Why, Moxie, what on earth?
At once, milady. Today, I've had some bad news.
Oh, my dear. Oh, I'm so awfully sorry. Now, what is it?
It's my aunt, milady, my mother's sister. She's very seriously ill, and she's all alone.
Where?
South Sea.
But why is she all alone? I mean, she must have someone to look after her.
Well, her husband looked after her, milady, but he died. Yes, he died, suddenly. 2 days ago. I've just had a telegram from one of the neighbours.
And you have to leave at once?
Yes, milady.
Oh, my poor Moxie. How horrid for you. When do you think you'll be able to come back?
Well, that's just it, milady. I shan't be able to come back.
What?
You see, she's all alone, and she may just sort of linger for years.
Do you mean to say that you want to leave me for good now? This minute?
Oh, no, it isn't that I want to, milady. Please believe that. It's just that I must.
But this aunt of yours, I mean, what's the matter with her? What's she suffering from?
Well, I don't rightly know, milady. The doctors don't seem to be able to make up their minds.
Well, couldn't she go to a hospital?
Oh, no. No, she can't be moved.
And her husband, who looked after her? I mean, what did he die of so very suddenly?
He was run over, milady. By an army lorry.
Where?
Just opposite the South Parade Pier.
How do you know all this?
It was in the telegram.
Your aunt must have very extravagant neighbours.
Yes, milady.
Moxie, how long have you been with me?
Well, I came to Marshwood as housemaid 20 years ago.
And you became my personal maid a year later?
Yes.
And you've been my personal maid and my personal friend and part of the family ever since?
Yes, milady.
So we have lived together, travel together, laugh together, and gossip together for approximately 19 years.
Yes, milady.
Can it be that during all that long time, Moxie, you have looked upon me as a driveling idiot?
Oh. I'm sorry, milady. I knew it was no use. I knew you wouldn't believe it.
You're a terribly bad liar. I noticed it on the telephone. Yes. You're upset about his lordship's marriage. Now, that's the trouble, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes, that's the trouble.
And you seriously wish to leave me because of it?
Yes, please, milady.
But Why, Moxie, dear? Why should it matter to you so desperately?
Please, let me go, milady. Don't ask me to explain. I can't stay here. I must leave at once.
But why?
I have my reasons.
Well, in that case, there isn't anything more to be said, is there?
Oh, milady.
Obviously, I can't force you to stay with me if you don't want to. Come and say goodbye to me when you're packed.
Very well, milady.
Oh, Moxie, dear, this is too utterly fantastic. I can't possibly just let it happen. Now, please tell me why you feel that you have to leave me. I promise you I will try to understand whatever it is. Please, Moxie, dear.
I can't. It's too humiliating. I'm so ashamed.
Oh, it isn't Nigel, is it? I mean, it isn't that he's ever...
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, of course it isn't.
Is it perhaps that you love him more than you can help?
No, no, my lady. No, it's nothing like that. I swear it isn't. Of course, I love his lordship. I've loved him ever since he was a boy, but not like that.
We're all worried about this sudden engagement, but we really must all make an effort to face the situation calmly and sensibly. For all we know, Miranda Frail might be simple and kind and absolutely charming. And the only really important thing is that she should make him happy, isn't it?
She won't.
But we can't prove that, can we?
If you searched the whole wide world with a tooth comb, you couldn't find anybody less fitted to be his lordship's wife and the mistress of this house.
Why are you so sure? How do you know?
Because, milady, Miss Miranda Frail happens to be my young sister.
Do wish you'd sit down, Peter. Nothing can be achieved by you charging about the room like a sort of dodgem.
What on earth's a dodgem?
One of those little motor cars you go on in Margate and bang into everybody.
I haven't banged into anybody yet.
We must concentrate. This is a serious crisis.
If we concentrate until we're blue in the face, we shan't get any further. There's only one possible solution, and you know it. Send Moxie away somewhere. Send her abroad.
I've told you once and for all that I am not going to be parted from Moxie. I couldn't live without her. I don't intend to try.
But it may not be for long. We may be able to dissuade Nigel from marrying this tiresome woman. And then she could go back to Hollywood and no one need ever know.
And how do you propose to go about dissuading him?
Surely when he knows that his prospective sister-in-law is his mother's maid, it'll shake him a bit. What was their name? Their family name, I mean.
Birch. It seems they had a grocer's shop in Nightingale Lane, somewhere between Brixton and Clapham. Frieda, that's my future daughter-in-law, was the flighty one. Moxie's real name is Dora, you know. She married Moxton, Edith Harrington's chauffeur. They had a child, but it died. And then Moxton died, too. So she went back to the shop and her mother.
And Frieda?
Oh, Frieda had upped and left long before then. Apparently, she started making a beast of herself quite early.
In what way?
Oh, the usual way. She kept on almost having babies, but not quite.
A lack of concentration?
And then there was apparently a terrible scene. And the mother had a stroke, and Frieda beetled off to America with a theatrical agent called Greenberg. Well, that was the last Moxie saw of her.
Did the mother die?
Yes, and the shop failed. And Moxie came here as housemaid shortly afterwards.
20 years is a long time, though. Perhaps Frieda, Miranda, whatever her name is, wouldn't recognize her now.
Well, of course she would. Moxie had hardly changed at all.
She could change, though, couldn't she?
How do you mean?
I've got an idea.
Oh, disguise her, I suppose.
No, promote her.
Promote Moxie? And what do you propose to do? Pop a tiara on her head and pretend she's the Duchess of Devonshire.
Look, as I see it, the crux of this whole situation is that Moxie is a domestic servant, a lady's maid. In fact, a social inferior.
There's nothing inferior about her, social or otherwise.
All right, I couldn't agree with you more, but that's beside the point.
Yes, but what did you mean about promoting her?
Well, step her up. Make her your secretary.
But she can't do shorthand or type. She can't even spell very well.
Neither can you.
But everybody knows her as my maid. They'd all think I was dotty if I suddenly said she was my secretary.
Well, companion, then. Secretary companion. She must be entirely redressed.
Oh, Peter. She'd never agree to it in 1,000 years.
I don't see why.
She's a woman of considerable pride. She'll bitterly resent the idea of stepping out of her own milieu in order to be sociably acceptable to her own sister.
Well, let's ask her anyhow.
Well, I think before we say anything to her, I should like Crestwell's opinion. Ring the bell.
Oh, all right. There you are.
You rang, my lady.
Oh, yes, Crestwell. I have been thinking for some time of making a change in the household.
A change, my lady.
And I wanted to ask your opinion before I decide definitely. You see, it concerns Moxie.
Oh, yes, my lady.
I wish to promote her. I mean, to alter her status. And I was wondering what you would think of the idea of her ceasing to be part of the domestic staff and becoming my secretary.
Secretary, my lady?
Companion secretary.
To what degree would such a metamorphosis affect the status quo, my lady?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, but that would all have to be gone into very carefully.
Meals, for instance.
Oh, dear. Oh, that is a problem, isn't it?
Problem, certainly, my lady, but not an insoluble one. I presume that she could eat in the dining room when you were en famille, as it were?
Yes, I suppose so, yes. Well, of course she could, but what do you think of the idea, Crestwell?
May I ask if you've discussed it with Mrs. Moxton herself?
Oh, not yet. We wanted to get your reactions first.
Why, you think she won't agree?
I think, taking into consideration the very special circumstances, she might.
How much do you know, Crestwell?
In common with most of the human race, I know very little, but imagine I know a great deal.
Dear Crestwell, don't be evasive. Please, this is a crisis. Miss Miranda Frail, his lordship's intended bride, happens to be Mrs. Moxton's sister.
Thank you, my lady. You may rely on my discretion.
You already guessed it.
By simple deduction and putting two and two together, I had arrived at the conclusion there was something a bit dodgy going on.
Well, you were quite right, Crestwell. Nothing indeed could be dodgier. Now, will you help us?
In what way, milady?
Oh, in any way you can. You are a wise man and an exceedingly persuasive one.
Thank you, milady.
Oh, I shall never forget how you managed that dreadful waif who took to the bottle and kept on disappearing on her bicycle in the middle of the night.
That was more moral blackmail than persuasion, my lady.
Well, will you go now and ask Moxie to come down?
Very good, my lady.
Try not to enjoy the situation so wholeheartedly, Peter.
I can't imagine why you don't marry Crestwell, Felicity. It'd simplify everything.
Oh, it's terribly upsetting, really.
Well, it needn't be if it's properly handled.
Oh, it's Moxie that I'm worrying about. You know, I've suddenly realized something. Something curiously humiliating.
What?
I don't really know her at all.
What on earth do you mean?
Oh, she knows me all right. She knows all my problems and all my relations. She has nursed me through illnesses. She's seen me in tears. She's seen me dressed and undressed, with my face plastered with grease or made up to the eyes. And only once in 19 years have I ever seen her in her dressing gown, and that was in the station hotel at Genoa, when I had ptomaine poisoning from eating bad fish.
Surely true knowledge of character doesn't necessarily depend on constantly seeing people in their dressing gowns.
She has done her job faithfully and well. She has comforted me and cosseted me and received all my confidences for all those long years. And until today, I didn't even know that she had a sister.
But if she were ashamed of her, if she'd cut her out of her life, it was quite natural that she wouldn't discuss her or even mention her.
I've told Moxie many things that I was ashamed of.
Crestwell says you wish to speak to me, milady.
Oh, yes, Moxie, I do. Most urgently. Will you sit down? Both of you.
Very well,
thank you,
milady.
Milady.
Now then, Moxie dear, I have explained the situation confidentially to Mr. Peter.
Oh,
no, I had to discuss it with somebody. As well as being my nephew, he is an old friend whose discretion can be completely relied on.
I quite understand, milady.
Crestwell also.
Crestwell?
But as a matter of fact, he had already guessed.
Oh, had he indeed, milady?
A process of natural deduction, Dora. Cause and effect, you know.
I don't know any such thing. But I do know about people nosing about and not minding their own business.
Now, you mustn't be cross with Crestwell, Moxie. He's eager to help us in any way he can.
It's very kind of him, I'm sure.
The thought of you leaving Marshwood and me for any reason except that you are unhappy here fills me with dismay.
But that is the reason, milady, I shall be unhappy here. I couldn't very well be anything else in the circumstances.
I fully appreciate that, Moxie. And that is why I have decided, after careful deliberation, to alter the circumstances.
May I ask how, milady?
I wish you from now onwards to cease being my personal maid and become my companion secretary.
I'm afraid I couldn't possibly do that.
Well, why not?
I should feel so silly, milady. Besides, wouldn't be right.
But why not?
Now then, Dora, don't be stubborn.
Look, I can't type, for one thing, and my writing's terrible.
The question is one of status, rather than actual achievement.
That's the whole point.
Oh. You mean it would embarrass my sister less to find me in a false position than in a real one.
Touché.
We are trying to help you, Dora.
Well, how would this change, if it took place? Well, how would it really help matters?
Well, it would put you on a different footing in the house, Moxie. For instance, you would take your meals with us when we were alone.
And when there were visitors?
I suppose that would really depend on how many there were. We could make the old Japanese room into a sort of private sitting room for you. And you could occasionally have a tray up there in peace and quiet.
Oh, I could even invite my sister up there every now and then for a little snack, couldn't I, milady?
Now, don't be angry, Moxie. Please, don't be angry.
I'm not angry, milady. Really, I'm not. And I do understand what you're trying to do, but it's no good. Wouldn't work. Play acting and pretending to be what I'm not. That won't settle anything.
Dora, may I make a suggestion, milady?
Of course you may. Now, keep calm, Moxie.
But
To begin with, the secretary companion idea won't wash for one very good reason.
What reason?
It isn't good enough, all right? When Dora's sister arrives in this house, she will naturally be received as one of the family, won't she?
Well, of course she will.
Then Dora will have to be two.
I must say, I see Crestwell's point.
Oh, so do I. But what I don't see is how it can possibly be arranged.
His lordship has been away for over 4 months, hasn't he?
Yes.
Suppose that during that time, an uncle of Dora's died in Australia and left her a large sum of money, enough to give her an income for life.
Yes, I'm beginning to see. Go on.
Being sentimentally attached to the family, as you might say, she wouldn't want to leave Marshwood, however financially independent she was, would she?
Well, I don't know. Would you, Moxie?
Of course I wouldn't, milady.
Therefore, she would be staying on here, at least for the time being, as a personal friend, and meet her sister on equal terms rather than as one of the staff.
Yes, I see that. But what I don't see is how this could possibly be explained convincingly.
But there isn't anyone to explain it to apart from Nigel. And you can get him alone soon after he arrives and tell him about Moxie's uncle. You can add that she's very sensitive about having been a lady's maid and that he's not to say a word.
Yes, but what about the Halings?
Oh, I'll deal with Cynthia and the Admiral. I'll pop over before dinner and swear them to secrecy.
Do you think you can do it, Moxie?
Oh, well,
do you think your sister will recognize you?
Well, I don't know. She hasn't laid eyes on me for 20 years. I've been saving a few things to say to that one, whether she recognises me or not.
You hate her, Moxie.
If ever a girl needed a bottom smacking, she did.
We might arrange that after dinner.
Oh, shush, Peter. Now, you'd better wear my molyneux this evening.
Oh, I don't like this. Milady, it doesn't feel right somehow. I don't like it at all.
And we'll discuss other clothes in the morning. I think Mr. Peter has some ideas about your hair. Oh, you'd better listen to him. He's quite good at that sort of thing.
Very well, Milady, but...
Good. I think Moxie had better have the chintz room, Crestwell. You might see that her things are moved, will
Very
you?
Good, Milady. I gather, to find a phrase, that we're off.
We certainly are. Go along, Moxie. Good heavens! They're arriving! Fly, Moxie, quickly!
Oh, milady. Milady, I don't think I can. I really don't...
Courage, Moxie, courage!
Oh. Crestwell? Crestwell, tell Alice to run a bath for me, will you, please?
Very good, Mrs. Moxton.
And you wipe that grin off your face while you're at it.
But I still don't quite understand, Mother.
Well, I should have thought it was quite simple enough.
I'm fond of Moxie, as you know. I always have been. But I can't help feeling that this sudden transformation is a little drastic. Is it absolutely necessary for you to go wherever she goes, to be clamped to her side for the rest of your days?
Absolutely. I'm devoted to her, and she's devoted to me.
Yes, but surely if she's financially independent and no longer your maid, you can't expect her to fetch and carry for you and look after you.
Moxie would continue to look after me if she were a millionairess.
Well, if you ask me, I think the whole thing's absurd.
And I don't see why you're making such a dreadful fuss. Why shouldn't she have meals with us and call us by our Christian names?
Why shouldn't she? Oh, really, Mother, I don't approve of it, and I never shall.
But you promised me that you won't tell anyone. Even Miranda?
Oh, how can you be so silly, Mother? Everybody's bound to know sooner or later.
But will you promise?
Oh, all right, I promise. Do you like Miranda, Mother? Really?
Well, I only had a few words with her, and then she said she wanted to go to sleep.
Oh, she was exhausted after the drive down. She always sleeps in the afternoon, anyhow.
Oh, how sensible.
Do you think you're going to like her?
Oh, I hope so, darling. She seemed very charming. Of course, she has no eyebrows.
Mother, must you harp on anatomical defects?
I didn't say it was a defect. I merely said that she hasn't got any.
She's awfully simple and sweet, really, you know. Quite unlike what you'd think she'd be from seeing her on the screen.
I've only seen her as a hospital nurse, a gangster's moll, a nun, and Catherine the Great. So it's a little difficult to form any definite opinion.
You're prejudiced against her.
Oh, don't talk nonsense, Nigel. I know nothing whatever about her beyond the fact that she sleeps every afternoon and can swim.
She's a remarkable character. She's honest and unaffected, and she's never allowed her success to spoil her. She loves the ordinary, simple things of life, like living in the country and sewing and reading. She also adores children.
Oh, has she ever had any?
No, she hasn't. But that's beside the point.
But she's been married before, hasn't she?
Yes, to a man called Greenberg. He was foul to her.
Oh, in what way?
In every way. He was cruel and used to go away and leave her alone for weeks at a time.
Well, that at least gave her an opportunity to catch up on her sewing and reading.
It's quite clear that you hardened your heart against her, so I won't see any more.
I saw in the paper that Mr. Don Lucas had arrived in England.
What are you getting at now, Mother?
Well, mightn't that be a little awkward for Miranda?
She's never attempted to conceal anything from me. I know all about her love affair with Don Lucas. It was finished and done with ages ago. 3/4 of it was studio publicity, anyway.
Oh, I'm so glad, darling.
Studio publicity agents are absolutely unscrupulous. Their job is to get the stars talked about at all costs. Miranda and Don Lucas were teamed together in 3 pictures. That was quite enough to start the whole business.
Oh, I remember him in the one about the nun. Oh, yes, he was very good.
He's a terrible drunk, you know.
Oh, how horrid for her. When do you intend to get married?
As soon as possible.
Ah, I see.
Why hasn't Cresswell brought in the cocktail things?
I'll ring. There. Oh, hello, Peter.
There are 2 girl guides in the shrubbery.
What are they doing there?
They weren't doing anything. They were just there.
If they're autograph hunters, they must be sent away. Miranda is driven mad by autograph hunters.
Oh, poor dear.
Cocktails, my lady.
Ah, Cresswell. There are apparently some girl guides in the shrubbery.
I know, milady. They've been hanging about all the afternoon. I think one of them is the little Mumby girl.
Have them sent away, whoever they are.
If it's Elsie Mumby, we can't possibly send her away. The whole village would be up in arms.
Why?
She pulled her little brother out of a well. Oh, she's a local heroine.
Put the ice bucket down, Alice, and go and see what they want.
They want Miss Frayle's autograph, Mr. Cresswell. So does Miss Luton at the post office. She sent Billy down for it on his bike.
Well, collect the books from them, Alice, and tell them to call for them in the morning.
Yes, Mr. Cresswell.
And don't stand about giggling with them, either.
No, Mr. Cresswell.
Thank you, Cresswell. I expect we shall have a lot of this sort of thing to deal with.
There's the question of press reporters also, milady.
Get rid of them.
Young Willis of the Kentish Times has been particularly persistent, my lord. He's rung up 7 times and called 2 times.
Tell him to go to hell.
Oh, don't be silly, Nigel. We can't possibly tell old Mrs. Willis's son to go to hell. She's one of the staunchest supporters of the College Hospital Committee, and she's made us all those wool mats for the sale of work. Tell young Willis to come and see me tomorrow morning, Cresswell.
Very good, my lady.
Really, Mother, I do think it's very inconsiderate of
you. Oh, nonsense, dear. Miranda has decided to come and live in a small English village. She must be prepared for publicity. Will you make the cocktails, or shall I?
You, please, Nigel. Felicity never puts enough gin in.
Oh, all right.
Martini for everybody.
Yes, please, dear.
It's quite a festive occasion, after all, isn't it? What with one thing and another.
Ah, there you are, Miranda. I do hope you had a good rest.
I went to sleep in one world, and I woke up in another.
How confusing.
I was tired and edgy after the drive down. And nervous, too, about meeting you and Nigel's friends and wondering what you'd all think of me. But when I woke up, everything was different. I felt smooth and peaceful for the first time in weeks.
Come and sit down, my dear.
Martini, darling.
No, thank you, dear. I'd like a soft drink, if there is one.
Huh. Lemon juice. With a little soda.
Perfect.
Peter, come and help.
Right you are.
I didn't think you'd want to meet many strangers on your first evening here. So apart from us, there will only be Admiral and Lady Hailing at dinner. Oh, they're very old friends and our closest neighbours.
Is there anyone else staying in the house?
Only Peter here and Moxie.
Is that a nickname?
Yes. Yes, I suppose it is. Her name is Mrs. Moxton.
Oh.
Oh, we've known her for so many years. She's practically one of the family.
I do hope she'll approve of me.
Well, why the hell shouldn't she?
Well, old family friends are liable to resent intruders even more than the family itself.
Oh. here she is.
I hope I'm not late.
Well, of course not, Moxie dear.
Hello, Moxie.
Welcome home, my love. My goodness, how well you look.
Miss Miranda Frayle, Mrs. Moxton.
How do you do? I've heard so much about you. I really do hope we're going to be friends.
I feel I already know you well, Miss Frayle.
Won't you call me Miranda?
Certainly, if you wish.
Thank you.
Be an angel, Peter, and get me a drink. I'm positively gasping.
Yes. Well, you'd better make a fresh brew, Peter. There's only iced water in the shaker. I presume you do want a martini, Moxie.
Oh, yes, please, my dear.
You've no idea how wonderful it is to be able to relax and pop on my old glasses and not to worry what I look like.
As a matter of fact, they're very becoming.
Thank you, sweet.
An embroidery frame. Are you a keen needlewoman, Miranda?
Yes, I always have been, ever since I was a child. I used to have to do most of the sewing and mending at home. We were terribly poor, you know. I remember Mother was always calling me in from playing in the street to darn stockings or put a hem on something or other. We couldn't afford a machine.
Playing in the street?
Oh, yes, I was a regular little gutter child.
Where did you live?
Oh, it was an awful slum, really. Not far from Bixton High Road.
An awful slum?
Oh, yes. I can see it now. On a Saturday night with the crowds and the lights. I used to go down and get Mother her pint of beer at the pub and bring it home in a jug. One night there was a barrel organ and I danced to it.
How old were you?
About 5, I suppose.
You danced to a barrel organ outside a pub when you were five?
Oh, yes, that's how I first learned to dance, really. Oh, I do hope these sordid disclosures about my childhood aren't shocking you.
Don't be silly, darling. Of course they're not.
On the contrary, I find them absolutely fascinating. Don't you, Moxie?
I certainly do.
I was born in the gutter within the sound of Bow Bells. I'm a London Cockney, and I am proud of it.
I'm sure you are. It must be lovely. Yesterday, without even telling Nigel, I put on some old clothes and a veil, and I went in a tram to Brixton, all by myself.
How did it look? The slum?
Very changed. The house was still there, though. It gave me a dreadful pang to see the window of Mother's room, the one she died in.
Well, I expect you nursed her devotedly, didn't you?
I did the best I could, which wasn't much.
And you were all alone, with no father or brother or sister?
My father died soon after I was born. I did have a sister. She was a good deal older than me. Poor old Dora.
Why? What happened to her?
Oh, what always happens to people when they allow life to get the better of them.
In what way did life get the better of her?
In every way, really. I was the lucky one. I always had a conviction deep down inside me that somehow or other I should get on and hoist myself out of the mire, escape from the poverty and squalor of my surroundings. That's what's so unfair, isn't it? I mean, that some people should feel like that from the beginning and that other people shouldn't. I think that's why Dora hated me, really.
Was she cruel to you? Did she beat you or knock you about?
Never, when she was sober.
I think I'd like another martini, please.
I expect we all would.
You haven't told us yet what happened to her. Is she still alive?
No, she died some years ago. The news came to me in quite a roundabout way. I hadn't heard from her for ages. I've been sending her pennies every now and then, you know, just to help out, and food parcels and things like that, but she never acknowledged them. I'm afraid all the pennies went on drink.
I expect the food parcels came in handy as blotting paper.
Oh.
There's your drink, Moxie.
Thank you.
Felicity?
Oh, it looks very pale, dear. After all, the vermouth is there to be used, you know.
I think it's only right and proper that you should be warned about your future mother-in-law, Miranda.
Oh?
She's famous for her meanness over inessentials.
I wouldn't call gin an inessential.
Of course, over the major issues, she's generous to a fault. Why, she'd give you the dress off her back, wouldn't she, Moxie?
Certainly she would, Mr. Bagshot. Mr. Bagshot, we're saying so. Only the other day.
Who is Mr. Bagshot?
Oh, Mr. Bagshot is a new curate, Peter.
New curate, Mother? What's happened to Eustace Parker, then? Has he left?
Yes, dear. Yes. Oh, under a cloud.
Well, you never said anything about it in your letters.
Well, I couldn't, darling. I mean, there are some things you just can't put in letters.
But he was such a mild, inoffensive little chap. What on earth did he do?
Oh, we have no proof that he actually did anything. I mean, it was just one of those things. I'll tell you about it all later, Nigel. I really would rather not go on about it now. Miranda, dear, surely it's time you had a proper drink. I mean, that lemonade looks so dreary.
No, thank you. I hardly ever do, you know. Funnily enough, it's Hollywood that taught me not to drink. And one sort of gets into the habit of disciplining oneself.
I hope for all our sakes and for the sake of the world at large that you haven't decided to give up acting for good.
I'm afraid I have. Oh. I think being married to Pete will be a whole-time job.
Pete?
Oh, dear. It slipped out. I always call him Pete. It's a silly sort of habit. He even calls me Pete sometimes.
Oh, isn't that rather muddling?
We manage to understand each other, don't we, darling?
Admiral Sir John and Lady Hayley.
My God, I forgot to warn them.
I'm so sorry we're late, Felicity. Poor Eustace Parker arrived just as we were leaving and went on for hours about the church fete.
Eustace Parker?
Oh, I'm so glad he's back. It must all have blown over.
What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing, dear, nothing. I'll tell you all about it later.
Hello, Nigel. Admiral.
Welcome home, Lady Hayling.
Cynthia, John, this is Miranda. Miranda Frail, Sir John, and Lady Hayling.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Oh, we've so often admired you from afar.
Thank you.
Moxie. Moxie, you look very dressy. If you have time while we're at dinner, you might be a dear and put a few stitches in my bag. It's gaping at the side. I meant to ask Saunders to do it before I left the house, but I forgot.
Really, Cynthia, you'll be forgetting your head next.
What did you say?
Cynthia and John, too. I simply must talk to you both about the cottage hospital. Oh, there's a most awful crisis on about the matron. Oh, I'm at my wit's end. She really has gone too far this time. Come into the study. I can't talk about it in front of everyone. And you're both so sane about that sort of thing. Please come. Make another cocktail, Peter. We shan't be a minute.
Righto.
Peter?
Mm-hmm.
What on earth's the matter with Mother this evening? She's quite hysterical.
Oh, that matron is enough to make anyone hysterical. She's a fiend incarnate.
If you're referring to Mrs. Gaskin, Peter, she is adored by the whole district.
Oh, this isn't Mrs. Gaskin. It's a new one.
Since when?
Since Mrs. Gaskin died, of course.
I never knew the poor old girl had died. When did it happen?
Oh, about 3 weeks ago, I believe.
What did she die of?
Oh, it's no good cross-questioning me. I wasn't here. Anyhow, I feel sure that all these local incidents cannot be of the slightest interest to Miranda.
But of course they are. They're part of my new life. I want to know everything. I want to learn, step by step, all about this funny, dear English world that's going to be my home. It's terribly important to me. It is, really.
Oh, darling.
I don't suppose it'll be easy just at first, in the village, I mean, getting the people to trust me and look upon me as a friend. But I'll win them round in the end. Just you see.
Most extraordinary idea.
Thank you for putting me in the picture, Felicity. Even at this late hour.
Dinner is served, my lord.
Oh, dear. Room. And I'll snatch you two away before you even had a cocktail.
Well, we could take them in with us.
Oh, yes. I think that would be the best if you really don't mind. We are starting with the souffle.
I'll carry them in for you.
Come along, then, everybody. Miranda.
Come on, darling.
Please go in. I'll be in a moment. I've left my bag now. Where did I put it?
Dora.
I can't do it. I know I can't.
Pull yourself together.
I can't sit here and listen to her talking about Mum like that, saying she took her jugs of beer from pubs. I will never forgive her. Never, never, never.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Fred.
None of that. Here. Here. Knock this back.
Oh, no. No, I'd better not, really.
Drink it. It won't hurt an old soak like you.
Oh, Fred.
That's better. Now, they're waking in there. Chin up. Get cracking.
Oh, Fred.
Now, Alice, Mrs. Crabb will be wanting you in the kitchen.
Oh, yes, Mr. Crestwell.
And might I suggest, Alice, that in these few brief moments of intimacy that have been vouchsafed to us, that although understandably overwhelmed by the honour of being allowed to wait at table, there is no necessity to breathe quite so heavily while doing it.
Sorry, Mr. Crestwell.
When you approached the future Countess of Marshwood just now with the cream carrots, you sounded like a goods train coming round a curve.
I couldn't help it. Really, I couldn't. Well, seeing her tortured by the Japanese on Thursday and handing her carrots on Saturday sort of took my breath away.
If it had really done that, Alice, there would be no cause for complaint.
Yes, Mr. Crestwell.
Nor was it entirely in accord with the highest traditions of domestic service for you to stare at Mrs. Moxton with your eyes bolting from your head and your mouth open.
It was such a surprise, seeing her seated at table like that, dressed up to kill. I nearly had a fit. What does it all mean, Mr. Crestwell?
It is a social experiment based on the ancient and inaccurate assumption that, as we are all equal in the eyes of God, we should therefore be equally equal in the eyes of our fellow creatures.
Oh.
The fact that it doesn't work like that, and never will, in no way deters the idealists from pressing on valiantly towards utopia.
What's utopia?
A spiritually hygienic abstraction, Alice, where everyone is hail fellow well met and there is no waiting at table.
Oh, I see. Fork lunches.
The front door. Who the devil can that be? Finish up quickly now, Alice, and get back to Mrs. Crowd.
Yes, Mr. Cresswell.
Good evening, Mr. Horace. Excuse me. Is this the residence of your Marshwood?
Certainly, they're coming, sir. With your thank you.
This way, sir.
I will inform his lordship that you are here.
Well, hey, wait a minute. Don't do that. Miss Frail, I want to see. Miss Miranda Frail.
Very good, sir.
Yeah, I'm Don Lucas.
Yes, sir. I recognized you immediately. I gather, sir, that you wish to speak to Miss Frail privately?
Yeah, that's right, I do. Miss Frail and me, well, we are very old friends.
It is the awareness of that fact, sir, that tinctured my spontaneous pleasure at seeing you with a modicum of apprehension.
Come again?
Sequestered as we are, sir, in our remote Kentish vacuum, we are not entirely out of touch with the larger world beyond. We have been privileged to follow both your public and private affairs with the keenest interest. You are a very popular figure in these parts, Mr. Lucas.
Well, thanks a lot. I could do with a scotch if you've got one handy.
Certainly, sir.
Hey, what's your name?
Creswell, sir. Frederick Creswell.
Ah. Well, now, see here, Fred. I want your help.
Sir.
Thank you. Ah, I want to talk to you as man to man.
Any other approach, sir, would be curious, to say the least of it.
Well, this Earl of yours, is he really planning to marry Miranda? Miss Frail, I heard the news on the radio 3 days ago and hopped on a plane right away. I've got to know whether it's the real McCoy, this marriage, or whether it's just the studio publicity department pulling a fast one.
The real McCoy, I'm afraid, sir.
She can't do this to me. She just can't. I've got to see her, Fred. I've got to see her alone now. And you've got to fix it. Say it's a reporter from Life magazine. That'll fetch her.
They're in the middle of dinner, sir, but I'll do my best, Fred.
You're a pal. Here.
$20, sir. If the government knew I had this, I'd get a knighthood.
Oh, Miranda, baby. Let's get you in my clutches for 2 minutes. That's what you want, sweetheart. Miranda, Miranda, Miranda.
Pete!
Pete!
You son of a bitch!
Pete!
Of all the low-down, mean tricks, I'll never forgive you for this. Never, never, never.
Honey, I've got to talk to you. I'm going out of my mind.
Don't you come near me, you snake!
I've flown all across the Atlantic in a stratoliner without even a sleeping berth on account of they were all full, and you call me a snake?
You are, too. A snake. I never want to see you again. I told you that when I left, and it still goes.
I don't mean that, Pete. Not in your heart, you don't.
I cut you out of my life like a withered limb.
Pete!
Oh, shut up calling me Pete. That's all over.
Look at me.
Let me alone.
Mm. Now then, am I a withered limb?
Could you? Oh, how could you?
I'm crazy about you. I've been crazy about you for 3 whole years.
Crazy about me? What about Benji LeMaire and Zender Hicks and
God,
that phony Polish princess that Daryl Zanuck gave the party for?
They didn't mean a thing to me. They were just ships that pass in the night.
Then they certainly passed through your beach house in Santa Monica on their way to the open sea.
So we're back at that again, are we?
You bet your life we're back at that. I gave you all I had to give. My heart, my dreams, my tenderness.
Everything but equal billing. Remember Be Still, Foolish Heart?
You were featured under the title, which, considering it was your first picture, was more than you had a right to expect.
I got the notices anyway.
You got a rave in the Hollywood Reporter. And your pants torn off you in the New Yorker. If you call that getting the notices, I'll take vanilla.
Yeah? I'm bigger box office now than you ever were, even before you started slipping.
Started slipping?
Do you think I don't know why you're marrying this title guy? Do you think the whole world doesn't know? It's because you've been on the skids ever since Catherine the Great.
Get out! Get out!
I'm not getting out of anywhere until I'm good and ready. There are a few things I'd like to say to this Earl of yours.
Oh, Don, please go. Please. For the sake of all we've meant to each other, for the sake of all the good times we've had, don't come busting in here and making a scene and spoiling everything. Please.
Do you love this guy?
Yes, of course I do.
I really love him as much as you love me.
please, please, go, Don. They'll be here any minute.
As much as you love me.
Oh, it's different. I mean, no people love other people in the same way.
I'm crazy about you, Peter. I've fought against it. I've tried to forget you.
No. Please don't say any more.
Oh, Pete.
Go away. You've got to go away.
Oh, okay, I'll go. I know we're all washed up. I know now that there isn't any more hope for me. I only just wanted to make sure. Goodbye, Pete. It was swell while it lasted.
Pete. Goodbye, Pete.
Well,
oh, Lady Mary.
Yes, I came to rescue you, Miranda. But I see that it was unnecessary.
This is one of my very old friends. We were just saying goodbye.
Surely he's only just arrived.
I've got to get back to London.
This is Don Lucas. Don, this is Lady Marshwood.
I thought I recognized you, but I simply couldn't believe my eyes. Oh, this is the most delightful surprise.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Well, you're surely not intending to drive all the way back to London now.
Well, I'm afraid I must.
Oh, nonsense. I won't hear of it. That long, dreary road at this time of night, in the pouring rain.
It isn't raining.
Oh, it will be by the time he gets to Canterbury. I've never known it to fail. Besides, I couldn't dream of allowing Mr. Don Lucas to creep into the house and out again. Insist on you staying until tomorrow, at least.
But Lady Marshwood really has...
I'll just ring for Crespo. Dear Miranda, you really must allow me to have my own way. You're not married to Nigel yet, you
but
know.
But Lady Marshwood,
Crespo can supply everything you want in the way of pajamas and razors and toothbrushes. Please, Mr. Lucas. Oh, I shall be terribly hurt if you refuse.
Oh, thanks a lot, Lady Marshwood. I'd like to.
Don.
You rang, lady?
Oh, Crespo. Mr. Don Lucas will be staying the night.
The Japanese room, lady?
And tell his lordship that Mr. Lucas has arrived, will you, Crespo? Oh, and ask them all to hurry up. We'll have coffee in here.
Very good, Miranda.
How extraordinary to think that the last time I saw you and dear Miranda together, you were carrying her practically naked through a burning village. Wouldn't you like a drink?
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Well, do help yourself. You don't want to go back into the dining room, do you, Miranda, and have any more of that disgusting sweet?
No, thank you.
Then sit down, dear, and relax. Ah, there you are, Nigel. This is Mr. Don Lucas, my son, Lord Marshwood.
Hello there. How do you do?
He's driven all the way from London to say goodbye to Miranda. They're old friends, you know.
Yes, I do know.
And believe it or not, he intended to drive all the way back again immediately. Oh, have you ever heard of anything so absurd? Fortunately, I was able to persuade him to stay the night at least.
Stay the night?
Yes. Oh, don't worry. Crestwell has everything under control. We've decided on the Japanese room.
Oh, of course. A very good idea. How thoughtful of you, Mother.
Ah, Cynthia. Cynthia, this is Mr. Don Lucas. Oh. He obviously doesn't need any introduction, really, does he? Lady Hailing.
How do you do?
Hi.
Mrs. Moxton.
How do you do?
Mr. Hi. Lucas. Yes. Admiral Hailing.
How do you do, though?
And my Hello. Nephew, Peter Englington.
How do you do?
Hi.
Well... Is this the first time you've ever been in England, Mr. Lucas?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Oh, imagine.
Oh, how extraordinary. I do hope you're enjoying it.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was in America once in 1922, Norfolk, Virginia. Did you know it?
No, sir.
Well, I was commanding a light cruiser squadron in the West Indies. We had to put in at Norfolk because of boiler trouble. It was damned hot.
Boiler trouble sounds hot anyway, doesn't it? Oh, coffee. Thank you, Cresswell. Nigel and Peter, you can hand things round.
Mm, yes. Are you going to be in England long, Mr. Lucas?
No, I've got to get back. I've got to start in a new picture.
Oh, how exciting. What is it to be about?
Oh, it's an old story. The oldest story in the world. It's about a bum.
What an odd subject for a moving picture.
Felicity, dear, a bum doesn't mean quite the same in America as it does in England.
A bum is a guy who hasn't any place to go, who hasn't got anything to live for. Just bums around wishing he was dead.
Don. Oh, it sounds very sad. Will it have a happy ending?
No, ma'am.
That's not the way it goes. That's not the way it goes at all. Excuse me.
Oh, dear, poor Mr. Lukens. He seems upset about something. You'd better go after him, Peter, and for heaven's sake, keep him away from the shrubbery. If Elsie Mumby sees him, she'll give a wolf call.
All right, I'm going.
Did you know he was coming, Miranda?
Of course I didn't.
I think it was very inconsiderate of you to ask him to stay, Mother.
It would have been far more inconsiderate to have let him go all the way to London in the middle of the night. Have you finished your coffee, Moxie? Nigel, take her cup, dear.
You asked me before dinner, Mother, when Miranda and I were going to be married.
Well, of course I did, darling. We're all dying to know.
And I replied, if you remember, as soon as possible.
Oh, certainly I remember.
Well, I've changed my mind.
Nigel.
It's going to be sooner than possible. It's going to be on Monday. I have the license already. We shall drive up to London in the morning and be married in the afternoon.
Oh, isn't that a little impulsive, dear?
I don't care how impulsive it is. That's how it's going to be.
That's not how it's going to be.
Moxie. Moxie,
I fail to see that this is any business of yours.
I'm sorry, milady. I can't bear it any more. I really can't.
What are you talking about?
About you and Miss Miranda Frail, milord. You're not going to marry her on Monday, nor any other day of the week. You're not going to marry her at all.
What's the matter with you? Have you gone out of your mind?
Moxie, dear, for heaven's sake, don't say any more. It won't do any good.
Oh, let her go on, Felicity. She might just as well, now that she's started. It will at least clear the air.
Clear the air?
I'm sorry if you think I'm letting you down, milady, but I can't go through with it any longer. I would like his lordship to know a few facts before he marries my sister.
Moxie!
Oh, my God! Dora! That's right, dear. Dora. The one who ill-treated you when she was drunk and died in sordid circumstances.
Oh, dear, this has really got out of control.
What are you doing here? I don't understand. I thought you were dead.
You never thought any such thing, Frieda. You never cared whether I was dead or alive.
Oh, God, you, Frieda.
You think you are going to flounce about as mistress of this house, which has been my home for 19 years? You've got another thing coming.
Really,
please,
Moxie.
Nigel. I'd like to go to my room. This is all too insufferable.
You are dead right, it's insufferable. It all sounded very touching. You standing in a slum, gazing up at the window of the room your mother died in. Well, it may interest you to know, miss, that your mum died in St. Thomas's Hospital. And 10 to 1 she wouldn't have died at all if you hadn't broken her heart, running off to America with that greasy little agent, behaving like a tart.
Oh, how dare you speak to me like that. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her.
Poverty and squalor, indeed. A London cockney born within the sound of Bow Bells. You were born at No. 3 Station Road, Sidcup. And if you can hear the sound of Bow Bells from Sidcup, you must have the ears of an elk hound.
I can't bear any more. I can't. Take me away, Nigel. Take me away.
Oh, Lord.
If his lordship takes you away and marries you 3 times over, it won't alter the fact that I am your sister.
I really think, Moxie, that you've said enough, dear.
Right.
Not quite, milady. I've got to leave this house for good. First thing in the morning. I can't be your ladyship's maid any longer.
What?
Not with the best will in the world, I can't. It's all over. Done with. Goodbye, please.
Yes, Cresswell, I'm feeling lonely. The house is like a tomb. Where is everybody?
Well, his lordship went out very early, sir. He said he was going for a long ride. Her ladyship was called at the usual time, but she hasn't come down yet. Miss Frail hasn't rung for her breakfast. Now there's Mr. Lucas.
What about Moxie?
Oh, very low-spirited, sir. She's packing.
She's really going?
Yes, to Bexhill, sir. She says she has friends there. She's catching the 11:15 from Deal. Being a Sunday, it means 3 changes, sir, but she's adamant.
Oh, Lord. Poor Moxie. It seems so damned unfair.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, terrible.
Hungover?
A horse's neck will soon put you right, sir.
It'd take a giraffe's neck to make me even able to walk, let alone drive a car.
You're not thinking of leaving, sir?
You bet I am. I'm getting the hell out of here as soon as I can see out of my eyes.
Leave it to me, sir. We'll have you ticking over in no time. Excuse me.
Look, why don't you sit down?
Because if I did, I'd stay down.
Last night in the garden, you promised me that you'd pull yourself together and face the future with a smile, remember?
Yeah, that was last night. This is today.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Lucas.
Oh, hi.
You're just the one I wanted to see. Peter, be a darling and go into the garden for a minute, will you?
I'm getting rather sick of the garden.
Oh, well, the study, then. Anywhere. I want to talk to Mr. Lucas.
Okay, pal.
Privately. Now, do sit down, Mr. Lucas. Don,
oh.
You don't mind if I call you Don, do you?
No.
I feel somehow as if we were old friends.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
And you must call me Felicity. Ma'am sounds so royal. It makes me feel as though I were opening something.
Excuse me, your horse is next, sir.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Swallow the three aspirins first, sir, then sip the drink slowly.
Yeah. Quite like old times, isn't it, Crestwell? Except that the late Lord Marsh would always chew to the aspirin.
Young Willis is here, my lady. He's been here since 8:15.
Oh, tell him to wait, Crestwell. We might have a splendid scoop for him later.
Very good, my lady.
Ma'am, Felicity, I guess I got a bit high last night and acted like a heel. I'm sorry. Well, we were all washed up, Miranda and me, a long while ago, only I was just too dumb to believe it.
But are you so sure?
How do you mean?
I am Nigel's mother, and therefore what I am going to say is doubly difficult. Now, can I trust you? I mean, really trust you?
Well, sure you can.
This proposed marriage between Miranda and my son is a mistake. A tragic, ghastly mistake. Because you are the one she loves. The only one she will ever truly love.
What?
Oh, she told me so. I
told you so?
Well, not in so many words, but I am a woman, Don. And I knew at once when I saw you together, from the expression in her eyes, the tone of her voice, that her heart, her obstinate, capricious heart, belonged to you.
Well, she told me I was a snake, and she never wanted to see me again. She said I was a withered limb.
Well, people never say things like that unless they are passionately in love. Oh, I'm surprised at you, Don. I am, really.
But what can I do?
Oh, just don't do anything. Just wait. And above all, keep up your courage and don't admit defeat. Ah, good morning, darling. Did you enjoy your ride?
No.
Oh, excuse me. Peter.
Good morning. I hope you slept all right.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
What's happening?
Oh, you ought to know better than to ask that, Peter. Nothing whatever happens on Sunday mornings. Don wants to see the church, don't you, Don? I thought that you might like to show it to him.
Me?
The tower is Norman, but the rest of it's a good deal later.
Later?
Oh, you might also show him Mrs. Dunlop's house while you're at it. It isn't far.
I don't mind the church, but I draw the line at old Mrs. Dunlop.
Oh, she's much better. She's been as happy as a sandboy since her husband died. Now, run along, both of you.
Come on, then, Don.
Okay, ma'am.
Felicity.
Ma'am, Felicity. Sounds so domestically American, doesn't it? Like Grandma Moses.
I want to talk to you, Mother.
Oh, not just now, darling. I've got a million things to do before church. Oh, this desk. Mrs. Crabb is waiting for the menus, and young Willis has been here since 8:15.
Young Willis?
Yes, dear. If neither you nor Miranda will give him an interview, I shall have to. Oh, you needn't be afraid I should be indiscreet. I'll just fob him off with one of those stories about Miranda's early life. The fact that they're not strictly accurate won't matter at least. They'll just give him something to go on.
You're not to say a word to young Willis about Miranda's early life. I absolutely forbid it.
But it can't possibly affect you, darling. I mean, the interview won't be until the middle of next week, and you and Miranda will be away on your honeymoon. I presume you are going to have a honeymoon somewhere, aren't you?
You don't like Miranda, do you?
Well, of course I don't. I think she's a perfect ass.
Mother!
Well, what could be more asinine than that inventing all that nonsense about slums and pubs and gutters, when all the time she was born perfectly respectably as Sidcup?
She was only romanticising herself. She was naturally a bit nervous and ill at ease. She probably wasn't thinking what she was saying.
Well, she seemed quite at ease to me, sitting there sipping away at that dreadful lemonade.
Well, perhaps you can think of a way out of this situation. I'm damned if I can. Is Moxie going?
Yes, to Bexhill. She's catching the 11:15 from Deal. Oh, I shall join her there in a few days when all this fuss is over.
You can't go and live at Bexhill.
I didn't say I was going to live there. I shall just stay in a hotel for a few days while I decide where I'm going to lay my old bones permanently.
Oh, old bones, indeed. You haven't the slightest intention of leaving this house, and you never have.
Now, there, you're wrong. When you marry Miranda, I shall certainly leave this house. Watching her doing all that embroidery would give me a nervous collapse in a week.
How can I marry her now?
Well, you can't not marry somebody just because they didn't dance to a barrel organ when they were five.
I think your flippancy is unforgivable, Mother, and in the worst possible taste.
Oh, it's no use abusing her, darling. Ah, good heavens, back so soon?
We couldn't get through the gates, Felicity. The whole village's outside.
Oh, I don't. What have you done to your hand?
It's red ink from Elsie Mumby's pen.
Oh, show him where to wash, Peter.
This way. If it dries in, it'll never come off.
Oh, dear. I had a feeling when I woke up this morning that today was going to be difficult, and I was quite right.
Is that lachrymose oaf going to stay with us indefinitely?
He's not an oaf. He's perfectly charming. And if you had any sense of noblesse oblige, you'd ask him to be your best man.
Thank you for everything, Mother. You've been a great comfort to me.
Oh, dear, dear.
More autograph books, milady. Shall I put this lot with the others?
Yes, please, Crestwell. Oh, and you'd better tell young Willis to go away. I fear we shall have no definite news until later in the day.
Yes, Marilla.
Oh, and Crestwell, you might have Mr. Lucas's car brought round. He may be needing it. Oh, and did you give Miss Frail my message?
Yes, milady, she should be down soon.
How did she look?
A bit papery, milady. I don't think she slept very well. She inquired about trains to London.
Lady Marshall?
Well, that'll be all for the moment, milady.
Yes, thank you, Crestwell. Oh, good morning, Miranda, dear. I do hope you slept well.
I hardly slept at all.
Oh, you poor dear. Well, you must be exhausted. Would you like some coffee or Bovril or...
No, thank you. Your butler said you wanted to speak to me urgently.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a favour.
A favour?
You see, I want you to grant an exclusive interview to our local paper. Oh, I know you've been badgered to death by this sort of thing as a rule, but Willis is a special protégé, and it would mean so much to him.
I'm afraid I can't, Lady Marshwood. I'm going away.
Going away?
I don't feel that I could possibly stay, not as long as my sister's in the house.
Oh, but she lives here. She's lived here for 19 years.
I don't care where she lives. I never want to set eyes on her again.
Oh, I'm afraid that's impossible. I couldn't move without her. You see, I'm devoted to her. But Moxie and I won't be in the house all the time, you know. I mean, well, we shall go away sometimes on little visits.
You mean that you're going on living here after we're married?
Naturally, my dear. It happens to be my home, you know. I lived here steadily through Nigel's first marriage. Of course, it didn't last very long, but that wasn't my fault. At least, well, I don't think it was.
And Dora? Moxie, or whatever you call her? Is she going to live here too?
But of course. We shall all doubtless jog along together all right after a while.
But it's quite out of the question. It would be intolerable.
Well, it would be much more intolerable for me if she went away.
But you must see.
Oh, I'd be absolutely helpless without her. I'd never be in time for a single meal. My hair would be all over the place, and I should be covered in safety pins from head to toe.
Now, look here, Lady Marshwood. I admit that I haven't behaved very well to Dora, and I'm sorry for it. But before I set foot in this house as Nigel's wife, she's going to be out of it for good.
On the contrary. She will receive you at the front door. We might even prevail upon her to drop you a curtsy. The press photographers would love it.
You forget one thing. Nigel happens to be in love with me. He won't stand by and allow me to be publicly humiliated.
Are you so sure?
What do you mean by that?
Nigel is my son, Miranda. And like his father before him, he has one ingrained temperamental defect. He detests scenes and runs like a stag at the very first sign of a domestic crisis.
Are you trying to suggest that owing to all this business of Dora being your maid, that he won't marry me?
Certainly not. Nigel is a man of his word. I'm merely giving you a word of warning. Well, as it seems fairly obvious that we are destined to have an endless series of unpleasant scenes during the next few years, I think we might curtail this one now. Don't you? We usually leave for church just before 11.
Oh!
Miranda!
Nigel!
Why, I thought you were asleep.
Asleep? I haven't closed my eyes all night.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry.
I'm going away. Now, this morning, I'm catching the 11:15 from Deal.
You can't possibly.
And why not, I should like to know?
It's an awful train. You'll have to change twice, Ashford and Maidstone.
Your mother has insulted me.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't mean to. You really mustn't take Mother seriously. She just rattles on, you know. She doesn't mean half, she says.
She says she's going to live in this house with us.
Is that true?
Of course it is. She's always lived here.
Nigel!
Oh, now, do calm down, darling. You won't have to see much of her, except in the evenings. She has a tremendous amount to do during the day. She runs the whole place, and the village, too. She's on God knows how many committees. She's practically an institution.
She hates me. Don't you understand? She hates me.
Nonsense. You're imagining things. She's probably a bit irritable this morning. She has a lot to try her.
She has a lot to try her. What about me?
Now, look here, Miranda.
You don't love me. That's clear enough, at any rate. You never came near me last night.
Well, you slammed the door in my face.
And this morning, without a word of sympathy or understanding, you went out horseback riding.
We just say riding in England. The horseback is taken for granted.
I'm not going to live in this house with your mother, and that is final.
As my wife, Miranda, I shall expect you to live where I live and do what I ask you to do and make every effort to be on good terms with my mother. Huh. I loathe and detest family scenes, and what is more, I have no intention of putting up with them. And I can see no earthly reason, with goodwill on both sides, why you and mother shouldn't jog along perfectly happily together.
Oh! 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 Oh!
Pete!
Go away.
Oh, don't cry. You know it always ties me up in knots to see you cry.
I can't bear any more. I can't.
Well, what's happened, kid? That stuffed shirt said something's going to upset you?
No, Don, it's nothing. Please go away. I shall be all right in a minute.
How can I go away and leave you like this?
You must, Don. You really must. There isn't anything you can do.
Well, why were you crying?
A moment of weakness, that's all. I just felt suddenly lonely and sort of bewildered.
Oh, Pete.
Life can be very cruel sometimes, Don. Especially to oversensitive, trusting fools like me.
You're no fool, Pete. You're smart as a whip. You always have been. You're not going to let this bunch of copy society bit players give you the runaround, are you? You, Miranda Frail?
What's the use of talking? I can't walk out now. I've signed the contract.
You walked out of Dreams Cannot Lie after they've been shooting for 2 weeks. And where's your spirit? Why, they even suspended you for 3 months and you laughed in their faces. At least they can't suspend you here.
They can do worse than that. They can torture me and humiliate me. They can. They can break my heart.
Not while I'm around, they can. Oh. I'm the guy that loves you.
Oh.
Remember?
Oh. Do hurry up, everyone.
Very well, Mother.
Oh, really, Miranda, this is becoming monotonous. I feel that you and I have nothing further to say to each other, Lady Marshwood.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid that will make our long winter evenings together rather insipid. It looks as though I shall have to have a television after all.
What does this mean, Miranda?
It means that I'm going away.
I know you are. You said so a little while ago. I'll drive you up after lunch. You can't possibly go by train.
Don is going to drive me up before lunch. Aren't you, Don?
You bet I am.
Well, we really can't stand about arguing as to who drives who. We should be late for church.
Mr. Don Lucas's car is at the door, my lady.
Okay. Come on, Pete.
Pete. I would rather you didn't drive to London with Mr. Lucas, Miranda.
You can just quit ordering her about from now on, see? She's coming with me now.
Please don't be belligerent, Don. It's quite unnecessary. You're not rescuing anybody from the Japanese now, you know.
I'm sorry, ma'am, Felicity, but she's coming with me right away. She's not going to stay here and be tortured and humiliated anymore.
You insist on leaving with Mr. Lucas, Miranda?
Yes, I do. I couldn't stay here. I couldn't live in this house, not with things as they are. I was a fool ever to think I could. I'm walking out on you, Nigel. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. And you can tell my sister from me that she can go on doing your mother's hair for as long as she has any to do. Come on, Don.
Sorry, ma'am, but there it is.
Poor Miranda. She's been on edge all the morning.
This is all you're doing, Mother. I hope you're satisfied. You engineered the whole thing. You deliberately drove her into the arms of that lout.
I did not. She's been in and out of his arms like a jack-in-the-box ever since he set foot in this house.
You wanted to get rid of her and you succeeded. You're absolutely delighted.
And you? Are you going to stand there and pretend that you're heartbroken? You seem to forget that I'm your mother, dear. I brought you into the world in the middle of Ascot Week, and I know you through and through. You never really loved Miranda any more than you really loved any of the others. Of course I'm delighted. We're all delighted. And now, for heaven's sake, let's go. We're terribly late, and the last bell must have gone ages ago. Ah, there you are, Moxie. I couldn't think what had happened to you.
I've come to say goodbye, milady.
Oh, rubbish. Take off your hat and don't be so silly.
But, milady...
Now, do as I tell you. And for heaven's sake, somebody give me some money for the collection. But, there's nothing more to worry about. I
hasn't time to go on about it now, but Cresswell will explain.
But
now, come along, everybody. Cresswell, give Moxie a glass of sherry. She looks as if she's going to fall down. Come, Nigel. It's your first Sunday at home, and you must try to look as if nothing had happened. After all, when you analyze it, nothing much has it?
Cheer up, Moxie. Everything's all right now.
Thank you, sir. Thank you ever so much, Mr. Peter. Oh, dear.
Oh, snap out of it now, Dora. You heard what he said.
It's very fine for you. You have made a public exhibition of yourself. You haven't been humiliated by your own flesh and blood. Oh, I shall never be able to hold my head up again.
In that case, we shall have to settle for it hanging down, shan't we? Here, away with melancholy. Have a swig of this.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
As I see the situation, Dora, you're not the one who's been humiliated. Your only mistake, if I might be permitted to venture a slight criticism, is that you didn't take the golden opportunity when you had it to give your own flesh and blood a nice, healthy slap in the chops.
Oh, Fred.
I give you a toast, Dora. I drink solemnly to you and me in our humble, but on the whole, honourable calling. I drink also to her ladyship and his lordship, groaning beneath the weight of privilege, but managing to keep their peckers up all the same. Above all, I drink to the final, inglorious disintegration of the most unlikely dream that ever troubled the foolish heart of man. Social equality.
Nobody's ever going to stop you talking, are they?
It would, I admit, be a Herculean task, but should you at any time feel disposed to have a whack at it, you'll only to say the word.
That'll be the day, no mistake.
What about another nip at the amontillado?
I don't mind if I do.
In Relative Values by Noel Coward, Moxie was played by Gwen Cherrell, Crestwell by Bill Fraser, Felicity by Joyce Redman, Nigel by John Rye, Miranda by Joanna Wake, and Don Lucas by John Rowe. Charles Hodgson played Peter, Deborah Page, Alice, Garrard Green, the Admiral, and Gladys Spencer, Lady Hailing. The play was produced and directed by John Cardy.